Blog Talk Radio.
Host Merle Exit. Well, first I was singing I feel the earth move under my feet. Well, now we're going to be prepared here in New York City, because I'd probably be singing "And Everyone Knows It's Windy." Yep. Well, right now it's the calm before the storm. Sun's not out. It's cloudy, though. And I'm in the house. I'm safe right now. And hopefully I'll be safe when the storm hits. Well, we got a good show. Rather shorter one than usual. Well, you know, we have Glee on TV, the show Glee. And then there's the Glee Project, which is a competition to get a role on Glee. And in case you haven't watched the Glee Project, there were two major winners and two minor ones. And the major winners get, and I believe, well, we'll find out, I think it's a 7-week role. They write a character for them. And it happens that one of the winners, Damian McGinty, performs with a group called Celtic Thunder. And the tour would be taking them to New York City in next month. Next month? No, October. Right, it's the end of it. It's only now. It's only August. Time flies when you're having fun. And, well, the question, will Damien appear, or will he be in the middle of filming? Well, he's out in L.A. right now, what I'm going to do is I'm going to call him and have him on the air. And after that, we're going to talk about water filters. Yes, there's another one out there. It's called Zero Water. How is this one different from any other? And how does it make a difference in how you're drinking water or the taste, et cetera, et cetera? And we'll have a talk about that. So in the meantime, I'm going to dial and get Damien on the air.
Thank you for calling the Beach House from Rosa. This is Saul.
Yes, room 112, please.
Can I have the last name of the guest?
It's Damian McGinty.
Thank you.
From the sunset from your balcony, relax in front of your gas
burning fireplace,
or walk on miles.
Hello.
Yes, Damien there.
Yeah, hold on one sec.
Damien!
Phone. Interview time, buddy.
Hello.
Hey, Damien.
Hello.
Damien, can you hear me?
Yeah, can you hear me?
Yeah, this is Merle Exit. You're on the air.
Hello, Merle. How are you?
Okay. Are you on a landline?
I am, yeah. I'm in the hotel. I thought you were ringing my mobile. I was waiting at my door so I could get a signal.
Oh, okay. How you doing?
I'm doing good. How are you?
Are you out there at this point? Are you out there filming at this point? Is that why you're in L.A.?
Yeah, I'm in LA at the minute. We had the Glee Project finale on Sunday night.
Right.
And we had an Oxygen Live event for that on air. But now, yeah, I'm living in LA now, waiting to start filming. We haven't started yet. We don't know when we're starting at the minute. Myself and Samuel are meeting with Ryan Murphy, who is the producer of Glee, inside the next week. So hopefully we'll know more then. But it's very exciting. We're just waiting at the minute, you know.
Okay, so in other words, from when I'm watching it on, when I was watching it on TV, how far? I mean, I obviously it's not a live show, right?
But yeah, we filmed the Glee Project from the beginning of February to mid April, so I've known the result since mid April, and it's been hard to try and keep it in, you know, and not tell anybody. That was hard.
Oh, okay. Well, so in other words, coincidentally, I got an email about Celtic Thunder.
Oh, yeah. Wow.
Now I understand. That's okay. Actually, I was rooting for you.
Thank you so much.
Yeah, I was watching the Glee Project, and I was kind of looking, okay, who can they, you know, because it's a matter of who can they write a character for.
Yeah.
And if they have, you know, similar characters or whatever, it's like you want to add a character that's not already there.
Yeah, well, that's true,
yeah. What's the guy that also on Christian? Was that his name?
Samuel.
Samuel. Yes, Samuel. Yeah, I got the feeling he was going to win because they made a comment about him a couple of weeks ago. So I just said, you know, well, all right, hopefully Damien, and then watching and you're going, oh, he's still there, you know.
Yeah.
And you had to see my face when they picked Samuel. And I'm going, oh, man.
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden, oh, two winners. Oh, you must have been.
It was crazy. Like, you know, looking around, when it boiled down to me and Samuel, I was thinking, whoa, you know, it boils down to us two from 40,000 people. And then when he said, Samuel, you won the Glee Project, you know, naturally my heart sunk and I was disappointed. But, you know, I genuinely believe that Samuel deserved it. He's really talented. He worked hard. He's, you know, very passionate about Glee. But then, you know, Ryan told me I also won, and it was just an incredible moment. I hit the roof, you know.
Oh, I bet. How did you get on this? How did you get on the Glee Project? I'm curious,
Yeah, well, it's about a year ago now. There was auditions online through MySpace for this new role on Glee. So because it was so easy for me to record a video, I sent myself in online. And inside a week, I had hundreds of thousands of views, which was a surprise. And then 4 months later, Robert Ulrich contacted me and said, I would like you to audition in my office. So December 2010, I went to his office, I sung for him, and he told me I had made the final 83 of the Glee Project. So since then, you know, we went to Long Beach in LA in January, where they cut it from 83 to 12. And then we filmed from the beginning of February to mid-April, the Glee Project. So it's been quite the roller coaster.
Oh, so that's where it took place, in Long Beach, California?
Yeah.
Oh, I was there some months ago. Oh, it's a nice place.
It is. It is a very nice place. Like, LA is just gorgeous. It's stunning, you know.
Oh, I bet. Yeah, that's as a matter of fact, Long Beach is what happens when you think that things are being filmed in L.A. or things are being filmed in Miami. It's not. It's Long Beach.
Yeah, well, that's it.
Set it up for that. But so now you're also part of a group, Celtic Thunder. How did that come about?
Well, I started out when I was 14. You know, My manager and my musical producer asked me to audition for that, and I went and auditioned when I was 14 years old. I got the part of Celtic Thunder, and I've been doing that for the last 4 years now. You know, that's been an incredible experience. You know, I've learned so much. You know, I'm forever grateful to it, and, you know, it's just been an amazing part of my life. It really has. But, you know, my manager said something the other day that, you know, was very nice. You know, she was saying, you know, basically, you know, looked after you, and, you know, I'm going to continue to look after you, but you've now graduated it's like graduating from school, you know, you've moved on to the next level, and
right.
It was nice, you know, Celtic Thunder, it's hard to leave, but, you know, I have to follow my dream and I want to do this, and it's just, you know, it's a whole new different level, and it's an it's going to be an incredible experience, you know.
Oh, I bet. So, in other words, when I go to see Celtic Thunder in Manhattan, I won't see you there.
No, you will not, you'll not see me, unfortunately. Because of Glee, I have had to leave the group, so.
Oh, okay. Well, that I'm sure it'll be really interesting filming with Glee, I bet, huh?
Yeah, I can't wait to start. You know, I've heard a lot of good things about it. I've heard, of course, it's hard work. But, you know, I've heard it's just, it's very rewarding. It's a lot of fun. And, you know, it's, I can't wait to work with all those professionals and all those experienced people that have been there for 3 years, you know.
Oh, sure. Now, did somebody teach you to dance? Because I noticed when I watch Glee, I go, wow. These, you know, the choreography and whatever. And,
yeah.
You know, have you learned how to dance before this or take?
Well, yeah, you know, the Glee project gave us a huge insight into that, and you know what I realized on the Glee project is, you know, Glee isn't about necessarily being a great dancer. It's about, you know, really, really committing to it and selling it. You know, it's not about who's the best dancer. So that's what I learned, and you know, I'm willing to work hard on dance routines and get them down and bring my own, you know, my own element to them, really, because I'm not a great dancer, you know, I'm not afraid to admit that. But, you know, I've learned that it's about selling it.
Right, but in terms of choreography, was this like the first time that you were dealing with choreography, or do you also, is there choreography when you were doing Celtic Thunder?
There was a bit of choreography with Celtic Thunder, you know, there was, you know, but it was nothing compared to this. Like, this, you know, this is really a whole new level on everything, you know, choreography wise. You know, we were doing like hip hop and everything, like it was real hardcore dancing. It was tough. With Celtic Thunder, you know, it was very much, you know, you walk here, you step here. You know, it wasn't really dancing as such. This is
right.
Definitely dancing.
Well, so now you're going to get the whole kit and caboodle. Will this be the first time that you're doing something other than a stage?
Yes, it is. It's my first work in TV, yeah.
Wow, that must be, that'll be interesting. At least you can do more than one take, though.
Yeah, I can't wait. You know, it's going to be a whole new experience for me. It's something that I can't wait to do, and I'm just very excited.
Do you think that in terms of your character, did they talk about, like, what they expect? You know, what type of character you're going to have, or what the...
it's kind of funny, you know, myself and Samuel, we have heard nothing. Like, I think they were waiting until the Glee Project result was out there. And they may talk about it more now, but, you know, as I was saying, we're meeting Ryan Murphy, who's the creator of Glee, next week. And hopefully we'll learn a lot more then about character and about when we're starting and songs we're singing. But, you know, at the minute for us, it's kind of funny. It's just, it's a waiting game, you know?
Right. I mean, do you think, it sounded to me like what they were looking for you, or that's what I was catching, that you're going to be like, what do you call it, when you come over, you know, from
the Irish exchange student?
An exchange student, yeah.
Yeah, I would imagine that's what they'll do. You know, they've never done that before. You know, with me being Irish alone, there could be quite a few storylines, you know, without thinking about anything else. And, you know, it's just an exciting thought.
Yeah. How many weeks were you committed? Was it seven?
Seven episodes, yeah.
Seven episodes. That's what I wrote on my thing on the description of the show. There were seven episodes.
Yeah.
At what point did you move out to L.A.?
Well, I've been out here now a few weeks. You know, it's kind of, with the Glee Project, I was moving back and forward, flying constantly. You know, there was a lot of traveling involved, which, you know, couldn't be healthy. But now I've moved out here. I'm working on Glee. I'm set up in a place, and it's all, you know, it's all start of a new journey that I can't wait to go on, you know.
I bet. Right now I have a CD. And it's not Celtic, it's Celtic, huh?
Yeah, that's right.
Okay. So I have a CD. What I would like to do, if you don't mind, I like to play a song so that my audience can hear your voice, okay?
Yeah, sure. Thank you very much.
Okay, so hang on a minute.
It's, you know, it's an Irish song, just it's about, you know, everything in Ireland. It's about, you know, the culture, the hills, just the beautiful, the beauty that is Ireland, you know, that's exactly what the song's about.
Oh, okay. Just so people will, you know, when they hear it, I mean, you could have been singing about, you know, rubbish, and it came out nice, and no one would know, you know what I mean?
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah. And as far as Glee, and I'm curious, is there like any particular characters that you thought to yourself, I can't wait to work with that person, or I can't wait to meet that person? Are there any particular people on Glee? You got me? Are you there?
Yeah, can you hear me?
Oh yeah. You're on a landline, right?
Yes, I am.
Oh, okay. I was just wondering what happened. Okay.
You know, it's kind of, it's an old cliche, but really, I would love to work with any of them. You know, they're all so experienced, they're all so professional. also talented. You know, it's going to be incredible working with them all. But, you know, people like Jane Lynch and Matthew Morrison really, you know, jump out because they're so experienced and, you know, they've been around for a long time. And Jane Lynch is just incredible, you know, so I can't wait to work with them.
Yeah. You know, by the way, the shock, the shock was, while I'm watching the Glee Project, was, oh, he's not really in a wheelchair.
Yeah, that's true.
Oh, and then afterwards I thought, wow, he really handles that thing quite well.
Yeah, it's crazy.
Yeah. So let me get back a little bit to Celtic Thunder. This is not like a family group, right?
Yeah, it is. Celtic Thunder, yeah. Celtic Thunder is a family show. It appeals to all ages. You know, at the time, there was...
Nobody's related to anybody?
No. We're just five performers put together, solo artists who come together and sometimes sing group songs, you know. It's really different and something that has never been done before.
Oh, okay. I was kind of wondering about that. So, in other words, you were doing this while you were in Ireland and then you said, let's go on tour?
Yep. That's it. It was a crazy transition, but, you know, it's an experience that I will always remember.
Oh, that's great. Did you record any of your voice on the CD, other than, like, I have two songs. Like, I have another one that I loaded up here. But do you have other recordings of your voice, of songs you sang, or songs like you would like to sing?
Yeah, you know, I've done quite a few. You know, Celtic Thunder, I did six albums with them. But you know, I'm pretty young, and that's all, you know, that's kind of all I've done so far, you know, so six albums is pretty good for 18, but, you know, I look forward to doing more music when, you know, as time goes on, you know.
Yeah, I don't want to say the character, it's like, you chose, like, on the last song to sing a song, you know, that you would not sing in Celtic Thunder.
Yeah. Yeah, well, you know, that's Celtic Thunder is different, you know, because it's Celtic music, you know. You're kind of cornered into that, and you don't really have a choice. Whereas, you know, with a solo artist and my solo career, you know, it's going to be a different story. You know, I'm going to sing, you know, obviously I'm going to sing music that I love. I do love Celtic music, but, you know, it's not where I see my career going, you know.
So, in other words, who do you, like, look to in terms of the type of song? Was that it? But Bobby Darin? Was that your...
Yeah, like, you know, I like him, I like, you know, Michael Bublé, but I love all kinds of music. I love pop, I love, you know, the recent stuff, like dance and all that good stuff. Like, I just love any type of music, and I'm willing to sing and give anything a shot, you know.
Well, I guess it'll be interesting when the show comes back on as to, of course, they're going to decide within your character, I guess, they decide what you're going to sing. But,
yeah, well, that's it, you know, but I think, you know, there are people who have created, you know, two seasons of Glee, and, you know, it's going to be, I can't wait for them to decide, because, you know, they know exactly what they're doing, and, you know, they are the reason Glee has been such a phenomenon, you know.
Yeah, that's true. The reason that I like to watch Glee is because it's like a variety show every week.
Yeah, it is. It's totally different, and, you know, that's a great thing about Glee. There's so much variety in it. It appeals to so many people. And it's amazing,
a,
you know.
It's
sorry, I have another interview here at 4:20. I really need to go.
Oh, okay.
But it was amazing talking to you. Thank you so much.
Sure, and I'm probably going to get back to you some point after you're doing Glee to follow up on, you know, how that was, how that's going, and how that was.
Sure, and which radio station is this, just out of interest?
Oh, it's on the internet.
Oh, it's on the internet. Oh, good,
yeah,
good
so
stuff.
You're live right now, and it's archived. So
that's amazing. Thank you so much.
Have somebody listen to it. So, okay, great. It's absolutely fabulous talking to you, and I wish you loads of luck on the show.
Thank you so much. It was a pleasure. Thank you so much.
Okay.
Okay, all the best. All right, bye. Bye.
Well, in that case, let's play the other song I have for him. I wish I had what he sang on the TV, but here we go.
Once in the dear dead days beyond recall, when on the world the mist began to fall, out of the dreams that rose in happy throng, long to our hearts love sang an old sweet song. And in the dusk where fell the firelight's gleam, softly it wove itself into
someone to what may be the best brownies they've ever tasted. Fairy tale brownies. They may seem like one of the richest bars of fudge, with varieties that include caramel, chocolate chip, espresso nib, raspberry swirl, mint chocolate, all made with Calbo dark Belgian chocolate. But yes, they are brownies. And that's no fairy tale.
Ah, yes, and you can get these wonderful brownies on www.brownies.com, but also it looks like they're selling brownies in stores, well, it's out in California, a chain called Gelson's. I'm not familiar with them. Otherwise, you got to get them online. And I'll tell you one thing about them. Well, if you have to send from them, well, as you could probably figure, they're not like caloric free. But if best thing I could tell you, it's certainly worth the wait. Wait, get it? Okay. Anyway. So now we're going to go on to talking about the zero water, and I believe, do I got my zero water on the air?
Hello, yes, this is Mike Nelson from Zero Water.
Hi, Mike, how you doing?
I'm very well, how are you?
Okay, so filters, everybody's coming up with filters. So what I want to ask, just to let you know, I've gotten to the point where I read the directions, I did what you have to do, and the water hasn't filtered through yet, or it probably has by now, but I've been on the air. But the one thing I did do, and we'll go through it as you know why, I have another filter. I have another from a different company. And so I did some filtered water, and I used the tester to see what would come up. And it did come up 000. But I was curious. But what I haven't done yet is done it with my tap water to see what the numbers were.
Yeah, well, depending on, now, where are you located?
New York City.
New York City. So New York City generally has pretty good tap water compared as far as TDS goes compared to the rest of the country. I also live in New York City. I live in Brooklyn, and my tap water at home using the same TDS meter is about 45 parts per million out of the tap. Whereas national average for TDS is around 210 parts per million.
Now, I don't know what that means.
Sure. Sorry.
what is he talking about?
Exactly. So TDS, a good way of thinking about TDS is just it's gunk. So it's anything that's floating around within your tap water. It stands for total dissolved solid. So things, if you wash your car or you wash your windows and the water dries, the leftover marks or the leftover streaks, once it dries, that's what's floating around in your water. That's the gunk. That's the TDS. And so a really accurate and probably the best way to measure the quality of your water is by seeing how much of that gunk is in there, because that's the stuff that you want to remove, and that's really pretty much the entire purpose for filtering your water, assuming that your municipality is going to make sure that there's no bacteria and things like that in there, which they do.
Now, tell us about this particular meter before we get into the filter.
Okay, sure. So the TDS meter is made by a third party. It's not made by Zero Water. But we attach it to all of our products just so for two things, for two reasons. The first is that you can test your tap water and you can make sure that your water is effectively being filtered through the Zero Water filter. Once it does, if your Zero Water filter is working properly and everything is attached correctly, and which is really a simple process to do to get set up, then you can test it, and if it reads 000, you know that there's no leaks or anything like that. The second reason is that as you drink more and more water, depending on where you're at and the amount of gunk that's in your water, the amount of TDS that's in your water, your filter basically exchanges ions, kind of negative ions or ions with like chromium or anything that's floating in your water with good ions like hydrogen, which is naturally in water. But eventually that process kind of expires. And so you're once you go through all of the good ions, water will end up to 0.006 parts per million, and you can test it. We recommend testing it about every other week or so. Once it reads 0.006 parts per million, we recommend switching out the filter.
Oh, okay. So, and this, I'm guessing that this is not your, I mean, can you kind of compare this to another type of filter, or what, as to what, you know, this filter does versus, I'm trying to think, what's, you know, what's the common brand? I don't think that you attach to your sink.
No, sure. So for a long time, about the last 2 or 3 decades or so, the most common brand out there has been Brita, and it hasn't, you know, it's been using a carbon filtration system,
right.
A gravity-fed carbon filtration system. Which, and it's very, very common. A lot of people are very familiar with that brand, and Pure is another brand. And they really use carbon filtration. Now, what sets Zero Water apart is that we're an ion exchange filter. So we actually have 5 different layers within our filter, and you'll notice that that the filter is actually a little bit bigger, and the water will flow through slightly slower because we want to make sure that we get all those impurities out of the water.
And so
our first layer, we actually are a carbon filtration system as well, and that's the first layer. And then it will filter through this dual ion exchange system, which basically, as I kind of talked about a bit earlier, exchanges the bad ions with the good ions, or the impurities with just pure water. So no other gravity fed filter out there uses this ion exchange system. And really, there's 2-3 different ways that you can actually really filter water. One is distillation, which basically is kind of boiling water and capturing the evaporated water. That's really hard to do at home. The other is this reverse osmosis system, which is kind of the gold standard, or for a long time has been thought of as the gold standard in water filtration. That the requirement for reverse osmosis, though, is it's much more expensive. It's not portable. A lot of people have an entire in-home system put in, but it's an entire in-home system. The great thing about Zero Water is that it's portable. You know, it's just a pitcher. It's relatively inexpensive compared to a reverse osmosis system, and it delivers, as far as TDS goes, essentially the same results of water purity as a reverse osmosis system does. So you're getting a tremendous quality at an affordable price, and it's portable. And moreover, going back to TDS, if you were to, you know, use one of the pure carbon filtration systems without the ion exchange, if the national average is 210 parts per million of the gunk, well, with just pure carbon filtration, you're going to look at maybe, you know, you'll get down to 180 or maybe 110, depending on how new that filter is. Whereas with Zero Water or with an ion exchange system, you're going to get all the way down to 0 parts per million.
Now, let me also ask you, have you done tests with different bottled waters?
Yeah, sure we have. And
you're allowed to, you know, say names.
Well, I don't need to necessarily say names. What I will say is
I'm curious to hear names also, because if, you know, like if somebody's, and I'm just, you know, like the like Poland Spring kind of thing, well, you know, does it, in other words, in terms of like what you're putting in your body, does it make a difference? I mean, because it's, you know, coming from a spring, and is, you know, and does that make it pure? Does that make it
well,
okay?
Yeah, well, You know, there's a lot of different ways that people spin water, natural spring water and things like that. Ultimately, what you really want to look at for the purity of water is the dissolved solids that are in there. And so I leave it to you to kind of test it out, because different bottled waters will have different levels of TDS in it. Some that, for example, that use a distillation process, a reverse osmosis process, or an ion exchange process, which I'm not sure which types of bottled waters do use those, will come out 000. Others, the natural spring water and things like that, will have some additional salts and things in there. And you know, salt is not necessarily harmful. It's in fact, it's some of it's needed, but that's not necessarily. You get salt from a lot of other places besides in your water as well. I'm not saying that you know, certain bottled water is bad for you. It's certainly more expensive than zero water would be, and it is. It's not necessarily as pure, especially if they don't use one of those three water filtration processes that I just articulated.
So, and how about, let me ask you about taste. How does it make a difference?
It makes a substantial difference.
Taste?
Oh, a substantial difference.
Well, let me ask you, like, I don't know, lately, and I'm not sure why, like, I don't, you know, I live in Queens, and I like the taste of the water, so, you know, New York City water, and right now I don't like the way it tastes. You know, and I'm not sure why, but have you done it? Like, have you done it? Something taking water and, you know, from Brooklyn and done it?
Absolutely.
Tap water.
Absolutely. I'll give you an example. So for many years, I would say for 3 or 4 years, I was a Brita customer. And then I was introduced to zero water. Got involved with the company. And, you know, I started using it, and I don't have to use it at home. I instantly, though, I could tell the difference in taste from one filter to the next. My girlfriend she's also now an avid zero water customer. It's just the taste is absolutely night and day different. It just tastes crisper. There's going to be absolutely no smell whatsoever. I mean, you're getting what water is supposed to taste like, 100% pure water, and it's just fantastic.
I know that, for instance, when I'm thirsty and I want water because I want to quench my thirst. I don't want to taste anything.
Right. You're not going to taste anything with zero
water.
That's
what I kind of look for, you know. I mean, I've talked about various filters on the show. I mean, some of which, I don't remember. I think there was one. It wasn't, I'm not sure it was actually for drinking. It had to do with the ions. And actually, it would now take in the water and using it to clean.
Yeah. So.
Water itself. I've gone to the a lot of these the shows, the both the gift shows and
right,
as well,
sure,
as the eco shows and things like that. So I'm always kind of looking at new products to see how they make a difference, and of course as I'm hearing the reports about the hurricane coming in, and it says, you know, make sure you have bottled water, and my brain is going, I really don't love Poland Spring water. You know what I mean?
Right.
I don't necessarily like the taste of the bottled water, you know, kind of thing. So I'm thinking to myself, let's see, how can I make enough water here from using your filter, which,
yeah,
is what I'm going to do, to have the filtered water on hand, you know?
Well, that's a great idea. And, you know, bottled water, it's going to be, you know, it's going to have a TDS level under 500, which is required by the Environmental Protection Agency. But it it's not going to be regulated. Actually, to be frank, the bottled water industry is regulated by the Food and Drug Administration, whereas your tap water is regulated more regularly and more stringently by the Environmental Protection Agency. So you actually have a little bit of better regulation, or you know, you can have a little bit more confidence in your tap water over bottled water. And plus, tap water is well, drinking tap water means that you're not drinking out of the bottles, so you're not going to have nearly as much plastic waste.
That's
and it's
true, right.
And it's just less it's just less expensive also, and you're right. If you some people prefer the taste of bottled water to non-bottled water, but I guarantee you that you're gonna prefer the taste of zero water simply because it's absolutely pure. You're not gonna taste anything as far as the metallic goes. A lot of times, I'm actually originally from the Midwest. One of the towns right next to where I grew up actually had a very kind of we actually called it blood water, and what it was is there was a lot of iron in the water, so this TDS kind of made it taste metallic-y, and zero water would have, you know, if I go home and I drink out of that and I bring my zero water filter with me, it eliminates all of that taste completely.
So do you, like, now the one I have the 23-ounce one. Does it come in something where you're, like, taking it on the road? Like, you could just take the filter kind of thing and, you know, like, I forgot which one did this. I don't think it's Brita, but I had something where this small thing and you could, like, this little portable thing and you can basically take whatever water and use the filter and have filtered water.
All right. So at this time, in you're right. Mobility is one of the great aspects about zero water because it can travel with you. In fact, I was just in Nicaragua, and not having any experience with that country's water, I brought my zero water filter with me. I drank the water with relative confidence and was never sick when I was there. So it is portable. They come in three different sizes. You've got an 8 cup, a 10 cup, and a 23 cup. You've got the largest of the regular pitchers. There are some other products too that are a little bit bigger than that, but the 23 cup is the largest of the refrigerator products that are sold. The 8 cup is very portable. You can easily take that on a trip with you or what have you. For yours, I wouldn't necessarily, it's not the most mobile, but...
I wanted that because I tend to drink a lot of water and I'm going, well, this way I have a lot of water. I don't have to keep doing filtering constantly, you know, like I have enough to last me for a while before I filter again. But that's why I wanted that one.
Yeah,
but you don't
sure.
have, in other words, let's say you can you actually just like take the filter and like put the filter, let's say, in some cup or something and put the water through that? Or you always have to have like the pitcher or something?
Well, I suppose you could certainly take the filtering mechanism has it kind of screws into the bottom of your the thing of the dispenser, I guess.
Right.
And you could just take that part with you, and it would work absolutely fine. The rest of the pitcher, the sizable part of the pitcher, really is just to contain the water.
You could
certainly just take the filtering mechanism, so long as you have the trough part with you as well.
Oh, okay. That would be quite interesting to do, just going and traveling just in the United States to see, you know, how the water comes out and, you know.
Well,
how it tastes, you know?
Sure. And you would be surprised. I mean, as I alluded to a bit earlier, the water tastes different no matter where you go. New York happens to have particularly good water, but, you know, if you travel particularly to the Southwest, going back to the TDS conversation, they have much higher TDS. Consequently, the water, you know, has a worse taste, and there's actually a number of instances where people get potentially sick. Aaron Brockovich in the Chromium 6 story there is maybe the leading example, but there's a lot of other instances too. And you know, it comes down to the fact that the EPA does set standards, but every once in a while mistakes happen or things get into the water, and you know, it's an aging infrastructure. So some people do it for health reasons, some people do it for purely taste, because they want to make sure that they have the purest taste possible, and they can always get that no matter where they are with the zero water filter.
Well, I don't know if you've ever done this. Like, I could, if I go 5 blocks away from my house, you're not getting the same water from the from upstate.
Depending on, you
5 blocks from my house is it comes. They call it Jamaica water.
Oh, is that right?
Yeah, which I think myself, does it come from Jamaica Bay? I mean, and it's really, I can tell the difference. And I the only way I could describe it, it's like, I use the word aquatic. It's a sort of, I don't know,
Like it's right out of the river or something.
Oh, or something, you know.
Yeah.
And then at the same time, so that's coming from there. And then if you go out to Long Island, then you start having water that, you know, from the ground, the
right.
Well water from the ground, you know. So it really could differ. It would be interesting for me to take the filter. Well, not even the filter, just to take the tester and go
uh-huh.
to these different places. And now, how about, like, if it, do you find it makes much of a difference if you're making tea or coffee, where, you know, where at this point you're actually first boiling the water? Does boiling, let's say, so in other words, let's say what I guess I'm asking, if you're boiling the tap water,
uh-huh.
is it going to make a difference so that, you know, it tastes better if you have coffee or tea, or will I notice, like, the tea or coffee tastes better because I filtered it?
It'll absolutely taste better. In fact, going back to the dissolved solids, one of the things that we do, and this is kind of a workaround, I'll get back to the exact answer of your question, but here's kind of the reason why. As you boil down the water, the heavy metals, things like chromium, things like lead, and as well as the salts, as you boil water away, you're creating steam, and that's actually going to concentrate the things that are left in that water. So it's going to concentrate the iron that's left in there, or the chromium, so you're going to have more of it per the volume of water. So as you boil it, your water is actually not becoming more pure. It's going to kill any bacteria, which is why the EPA will say, you know, offer a boiling alert or something in the midst of a flood or some kind of a, you know, natural disaster, which is definitely something to pay attention to. However, if you're not under that circumstance and you boil your water, you're actually going to make the level of TDS within that water, or parts per million, go up. It's very important, therefore, to filter your water. You're going to get the best taste that you possibly can by filtering it through the zero water filter.
Well, I'm certainly going to do that. I'm going to make some tea later and see how that winds up tasting.
And I think you're going to be pleasantly surprised. We even notice in some of the very, you know, in higher end restaurants where customers come in and they only want the best, or they've seen our commercials, or they've actually started asking for zero water, particularly in their coffee and their tea. We've heard anecdotes about that.
Now, how can they ask for zero water? In other words, they'll go in the back and filter it?
That's just what we've heard. So I don't know all the ins and outs, but like I said, just an interesting anecdote.
Oh, okay. Now, by the way, you got a website?
We do. Yeah, you can find us at www.zerowater.com. And there's information about the five-stage ion exchange filtration process. We've got an FAQ, and you can find out about the different products available from Zero Water as well.
That's great. Yeah, I'm going to also, a lot of times what I do is because juice has so much, you know, sugar in it, I have to, you know, I think to myself, you know, you can't really have like one of your thirsty, like, you know, a large amount of juice, you know, because you got to remember you're talking about all these fruit and whatever kind of thing. So I tend to, you know, cool it a little bit. So what I wind up doing is I mix the juice with water,
uh-huh.
So that I'm, you know, kind of getting both. But this will, on the next time I do this, I'm going to be using the filtered water to see how much the juice tastes better, even.
I think you're going to be absolutely amazed. All the water that comes out is just going to taste, you know, crisp and pure. You're not going to have any kind of metallic taste with it. And, you know, sometimes water will even have a little bit of a smell associated with it. That will be completely eliminated. So it's definitely, it'll be an improvement on even if you've been drinking bottled water in the past, it'll be an improvement on that. Substantially a bigger improvement over any kind of pure carbon filtration system as well that you may have. One thing, the juice comment that you mentioned is kind of interesting. One of the things that you may have seen if you've seen any videos or if you go onto YouTube and look up Zero Water is the water or the wine into water demonstrations. And our filters will actually, if you were to dump in a little bit of wine into a glass of water, you'll see that the entire red, you know, glass will turn red. If you filter that through our filter, it'll actually remove all of those impurities, color, the smell, all of the tannins and things, and you'll be left with nothing but pure water. And it'll read with that third-party tester 000.
So wait a minute. So are you saying that you can filter something other than water? I mean, plain water, because sometimes it says do not use anything but water.
Well, I mean, generally you should only use water because you're going to, if you were to, I'm going to use the word spike here, if you're going to spike a glass of water with red wine, it's going to increase the TDS, which means that you're going to go through your filter a little bit quicker. And you wouldn't want to, if you were going to try that at home, you wouldn't want to use anything that wasn't, meant to be, you wouldn't want to put, you know, anything that wasn't digestible or anything. But you could test it red wine, or you could try your orange juice, for example. I think you'd be surprised to see what comes out. Your orange juice will turn into water.
Really? That would be interesting. So in other words, if I put orange juice through the filter, will I get orange juice? That's like pure orange, a purer taste, or
no? It would just be it would eliminate everything that wasn't water. And you would just be left with pure water.
Okay. Now I understand what you're saying.
Uh-huh.
So in other words. I get what you mean. Yeah.
Generally speaking, and the way that we've done this in the past is just to not overwhelm the filter because, again, it's exchanging all these ions, the negative ions.
Sure.
So we generally will take the orange juice in a demonstration and we'll pour just a little bit of the orange juice, enough to, you know, change the color, change the taste of the water, which is, you know, we'll generally use about 5 or 6% orange juice to a glass of water, and then filter that through. And what comes out, lo and behold, is nothing but pure H2O.
Wow. Okay, that's really great. Well, I'm going to end the show. I'm going to go do some cooking and have some and now to test the water that I just filtered out.
That's great. I hope you enjoy it. I think you will.
Oh yeah, on my next show I'll comment about, you know, what I thought of that.
That's great. Thank you so much for
all right.
And, oh, one last thing too.
Sure.
One thing that you mentioned was wondering what, you know, what water was like in other parts of the country when you're traveling. If you go on zerowater.com, you can actually there's a place or on the website called TDS, and it's basically a Google map, and you can see what people have tested using their test meter, tested their water in their local community to be, and you'd be probably pretty surprised.
Okay. All right. Thanks a whole bunch, and have a great evening.
Thank you.
Thanks for being on.
Thank you. You too.
Okay. Bye.
Bye.
Well, yep, show's, I'm ending the show right now, and until the next time, which I'm sure will be next week.